Just as expected, the HBO series Girls has attracted a cult following, attracted parental outrage, some critical comments about being too self-indulgent, and too much about oversexed, privileged, and largely, if not exclusively, white kids in New York City. But Girls is a hit and has been renewed for a second season. We spoke with Lena Dunham, creator and star of Girls, just as the first episode premiered. She was full of energy, excitement, and more than a bit of humility about the small tempest she was launching into America's culture wars. Does the world of Girls really exist? Lena Dunham told us back in April, absolutely, yes.
On a basic, explicit level, it's four girls who've recently graduated from liberal arts college, one of whom is still attending NYU, who are sort of struggling with the reality of New York versus sort of the aspirations they had when they arrived and sort of the cruel injustice of looking for boyfriends, looking for jobs, and sort of their own sense of entitlement, which they don't even recognize, butting up against the city around them. And the fact they've sort of gotten out of college during a recession, and how do you handle that when you sort of were ready to take on the world? Then on a more macro level, I feel like my goal was to depict a kind of girl or a kind of young person that I thought was really prevalent that I hadn't necessarily seen on TV before.
What are the themes that are very New York-y here? And I think this is an issue that, you know, you could ask the question about Sex and the City, for instance. And what is universal?
In terms of the themes that are really New York-y, I think that, you know, I asked myself when I was writing the show, could this take place anywhere else? Because obviously, four girls navigating love and work, you want to differentiate it from Sex and the City. So I kind of wondered, could we just do this in Boston? Like, is there a San Francisco story here? And I think for me, even though I was born and raised here, New York has always represented the idea of sort of coming and trying to conquer it and make it. Smash has recently done it. If I can make it here, I can make it anywhere idea. I also think that just the constant day-to-day struggle, just to, you know, like get your laundry done, get your groceries, master the trains. Like there's a sort of desperation to life in New York and a beauty because those moments can be happening. Then you can be crossing the Brooklyn Bridge and look out and go, there's nowhere else in the world that looks or feels like this. I think the themes that are universal are just the feeling of trying to figure out who you are, treating that like it's a valid question because now we have the time and the resources to do that because we're not trying to, like, you know, slaughter cows and bring them home to our families. And so I think that in-betweeny feeling and that sense of lostness and that sense that everyone around you has it more covered, I think that from my empirical research, that lasts forever.
That's not what you view my generation as having done as parents, slaughtering cows and bringing it home to the family, right?
No, I'd say it was just a couple generations before. Maybe your
more,
mom.
A little more nuanced. And Bridesmaids, you know, took place in Milwaukee. So, you know, it's interesting. These female ensembles really do evoke a lot of universal themes. But let's begin with some of the maybe more accessible scenes here. Let's talk about the scene of you as an intern attempting to get a pay raise up from, I guess that would be zero.
As you know, I have been working here for over a year, and I wanted to let you know that my circumstances have changed and I can no longer afford to work for free.
Oh, Hannah. I'm so sorry to lose you.
Oh, no. I'm not quitting. I just, I know that Joy Lynn got hired after interning, so I thought that maybe...
Hannah, Joy Lynn knows Photoshop. Now, in this economy, do you know how many internship requests I get every day?
I would assume a lot.
50. It's about 50. I practically route them into my spam filter.
I think that that is a moment where she literally couldn't conceive of the fact this would go any other way but her way. And it's pretty sobering for her.
These days, a girl in your situation, kind of intern, creative writing, you know, Caucasian from New York, is your greatest enemy in the workplace an Asian woman who knows Photoshop?
It's highly possible because... I'm going to be careful not to say anything that's going to get me tweeted at by various angry civil rights groups, but she's more adorable than I am, more easily fetishizable, and has the skills to make someone's cellulite go away.
You know, the interesting thing about this group is that these women don't define themselves in terms of guys, even though there's an enormous amount of guy issue coming up.
Well, I'm so glad that that was your read on it because my goal was always that these were characters who have boyfriends but aren't defined by the lack of or presence of boyfriends, have, you know, body anxieties but aren't defined by them. I really feel like that's a way that women are marginalized as characters and that you know, to be able to sort of discuss. I think the real sort of centerpiece of the show is the relationships between the women. I always say that I think sort of the great love story is the relationship between the best friends.
And speaking of friends, there's a Friends quality to this show that I guess it's Friends merged with Dostoevsky a little bit.
That's about the best compliment I could get. But, you know, I was obsessed with Friends from the time I was in fourth grade. I had a babysitter who would watch Friends after I went to sleep or after she thought I'd gone to sleep. I would literally hide behind the chair she was watching it in, and she was laughing so hard she didn't notice me. So it was how my sister learned about sex. It was how I learned about the concept of being, in quotes, on a break with someone. It was massive. And I think I still define people in Friends and archetypes, and I'm afraid that I'm a Phoebe.
A Phoebe, but you're not imagining. I mean, your creative development wasn't imagining Phoebe doing it on the couch like happens in Girls, was it?
No, there was definitely, I think though that, you know, despite being a sitcom, there was sort of a naturalism to the Friends banter and a willingness to sort of have weirdos at the forefront that was kind of revolutionary. And also those people were just so damn charming and, you know, even though we understood their apartments were too big, we related to their struggles.
You can still use the copy machine where I actually work, but just come by at lunch so that my boss doesn't see you, because Kim will just freak out and she already doesn't like me very much.
That's weird. I don't think my boss likes me either.
No, I don't think mine likes me either.
Maybe it's a universal thing.
Yeah, or maybe it's because you're all hanging around here at 11:30 on a Wednesday.
Yeah, let's head off to work.
Now, guys who are loving, nice, maybe a little bit boring. Is the term for them men with vaginas? is that really true?
That's one of the terms which we coined for this, although I would like to hope that in my own life I'd be able to recognize one of them and not dismiss him as a man with a vagina, but instead call him like a sensitive hero or, I mean, I'd like to think that I would have more of an ability to understand his charms than these characters would. But unfortunately, they're attached to the inverse thing, which is like someone with a psychosexual chokehold on you.
A psychosexual chokehold on you. Now, did you cast yourself in this series? I mean, did you always think of this as something that you would do? Was there competition with other actresses? Hard to imagine, because you are the center of it all.
Well, that's so funny you ask, because, you know, I'd made a movie starring myself, and that was sort of the thing that allowed me this opportunity. So I think that people always assumed when I wrote a similarly sad, sacky character that I was going to play her, except for my agent, who when I got on the phone with him, and it was maybe like 2 weeks before I was going to shoot the pilot, and he said, "So who's going to play Hannah?" And I was like, "I am." And he sounded so agog, not because maybe he didn't think I could do it, but he's pretty supportive, so I think he was okay. But just the idea that I was going to attempt to undertake all three roles at the same time seemed, I think, pretty unorthodox.
All right, finally, as a dad of two 13-year-olds, can you help me out a little bit here?
Well, it's so funny because parents have sort of asked me, is it appropriate for my teenagers? And I've sort of gone, yeah, totally, because it's sort of no teenager is going to watch this show and think, I want that. I mean, I was fascinated by sort of memoiristic, diaristic books about slightly older girls when I was younger, but none of it was stuff I aspired to. It was more like warning stories. I think that something I like to believe that these characters are appropriate role models for teenagers just because of the fact that they sort of own their own mistakes and aren't glorifying their sexual misadventures. That being said, I think that you seem like a great dad. I've really benefited from my relationship with my father. So I think that's something that really stands teenage girls in good stead.
You know, as you do interviews over the course of this show, as it becomes really successful, saying you seem like a good dad is probably a good instinct in one of those interviews, all right?
Thank you.
Lena, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
The show is called Girls, created and starred and directed by Lena Dunham. Thanks so much. It's on HBO.
Thank you for having me.
We spoke to Lena Dunham back in April when Girls first premiered on HBO.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.